You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day and another week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth. Do you want to start with the markets or do you want to start with morals? Because my phrase of the day is morals don't move markets. What would you prefer, Nick? It's your show.
Okay, it's our show. Let's go for morals. Why not?
Okay. This morning we spoke about a tweet that the President of the United States put out on his social media, his chosen social media platform, which is now pillorying. It's very strange, cutting his nose off despite his face. But anyway, we're used to that. And he came up with a phrase, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. And that was to do with the rioting, the unacceptable rioting that's occurring in Minneapolis, in Minnesota. And then I suddenly thought to myself, well, where does this come from? And of course, the social media and the internet provided me with the answer, because it was in the late 1960s that this was a phrase coined by a police chief in one of the southern states of the United States of America during some race riots. So Mr. Trump has plagiarized it and used it in a way that is just entirely inappropriate, and it's inflammatory to me, and I just don't understand it. What I will say is, and as I said this morning, the actions of the people that have been destroying property, those actions are indefensible, but on the other hand, they are understandable. And now, unfortunately, it's spreading to the rest of the United States of America, and if there was an election tomorrow, Mr. Trump would lose with a landslide.
Well, isn't that maybe a little bit of a silver lining, that if anything good comes out of these horrific tweets of his? And interesting enough, the first tweet he sent from himself, from his official sort of handle at the real Donald Trump, whatever it is, which of course Twitter sort of very quickly tried to hide it and gave a warning that basically, you know, this tweet you can't, you know, it's basically inciting violence. I mean, he obviously went running downstairs in his pajamas to the press room downstairs, because they resend the tweet literally 5 minutes later from the official White House.
Yes.
So the POTUS sort of handle. And that also got blocked. So he was obviously like fuming that these guys up on Twitter, these liberals are blocking my tweets, ran downstairs and redid it again and got blocked again. But quite interestingly, I mean, spot the irony, really, because I mean, after years of having any inaction at all with Mr. Trump's controversial tweets that he has been doing for years, all of a sudden now they want to sort of be the bastions of police on the Twitter sphere. I don't know. Seems a little bit late, but maybe not too late. Never late than never, as they say.
I think there's one rule for everybody, and Mr. Trump's tweet this morning at around about 3:30 South African time was glorifying violence, and that's what Twitter was suggesting. And I agree with him, because you can't say thing. You can't say. Stop burning buildings down. But on the other hand,
yeah, but it's also not as if he hasn't done it before, Lindsay. You know what I mean? Like, his tweets that have come out, first of all, most of them are lies or blatant untruths, as the Americans call them. And they've never seemed to do it before, but maybe this is the final, I don't know, the last straw, I suppose, from them. But ironic that this is the same week that he's threatened to close down the platform or regulate that platform too. So lovely little bun fight happening over in America at the moment.
That's very intriguing indeed. What was the mood on the JSE today? Because we were talking this morning about the MSCI, the rebalancing of the index, South Africa being removed and other people coming in. What was your take on this? Because I'm looking at a couple of these prices and they're eye-watering.
Yeah, no, it was not a good day. And not a good day concerns me on the last trading day of the month. You get a little bit of, we say it's sort of tongue-in-cheek window dressing, but you do. You know, you do get some houses or some firms that like to uptick some stocks on the last day of the month, but not to be seen here. I mean, there really was no price action to the upside. And of course, as we said, we had a rebalancing that happened in the auction today. So typically what happens, MSCI Emerging Market Index is probably the most tracked emerging market index in the world. And they were kicking out six African stocks that underperformed. And normally what happens is index trackers or asset managers who track that MSCI Emerging Market Index have to also sell the ones that are going up. But normally they're fairly efficient. Normally it happens a few days before.
Yes.
So my goodness, they must have left this one late, because Telkom down 6% being booted out. Liberty Holdings down 5%. Investec Limited down 11%. Fortress A is down 3%. Redefi's down 7%, and Foschini Group down 10%, 9.99%. So those are now officially, as of now, because it has gone 5 o'clock, they are now out of the MSCI Emerging Market Index basket.
Okay, well maybe this is an opportunity. Maybe it's like the South African bond market being removed from the WGBI, the World Government Bond Index, and everyone says, well, this is a terrible thing, and then suddenly the bond yields go shooting down, which means that the bond prices are going up. Maybe this is an opportunity.
I'm gonna take a snapshot of sticking on my watch list now, right now, these closing prices on these six shares.
Yes.
And we'll stick it in the Lindsay Williams High Beta Alpha Fund, and we'll see what happens in the next week.
Don't know what that means.
Neither do I, but it sounds pretty good. Typically what happens in my experience, that these normally, you get the overaggressive selling going in as people oversell going in. And you get a little pop on the other side.
Okay, so let's do this. This is fun. The ones that went out of the MSCI index are what? TFG.
Okay, so let's start. So TKG is Telkom.
Okay, we've got Telkom.
We've got Liberty Holdings LBH.
Mm-hmm.
Investec Limited INLs.
Yeah, I've got the INLs, you've got your Liberty.
Fortress A's, FFA's.
Don't like them, but anyway, go on.
Redefine's RDF's.
Right.
And then Foschini's TFG's.
TFG's. Do you mind if I get rid of one of the... I don't like one of
Fortress.
The... Yeah, I think get rid of Fortress, can we? So we've got Telkom, Liberty, so Investec Limited... Redefine and TFG. They are the ones that on the opening on Monday we're going to buy. Okay? Obviously, theoretically.
In a real world, you would have bought them in the auction tonight. So let's take tonight's closing price, because that's typically
what
traders
do. That, yeah.
You would buy them in the auction. So you get your closing price tonight. It's all the same close.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see where they are on the next week. Let's keep an eye on them.
Okay, and the ones that came in were what?
None, unfortunately, which is a damning indictment from South Africa. This is the first time I can honestly remember that we've had nothing going in. There was a small likelihood that Prosus would have been added to the Eurostox 50, which is the top 50 companies in Europe. It's a very, very important index. But in my analysis, they needed to rally about 4 or 5% to get in for their market cap. And of course, that didn't happen today. So no, unfortunately, no South Africans added anywhere right now. Just those.
Okay. So our fund that has started this evening with the closing prices of the stocks that you've just mentioned is a short only hedge fund. And we're going short of Telkom, Liberty.
No, we're going long.
We're going long. Okay, I'm just looking at the minus signs and they're shouting at me. Okay, good.
So the old buzzword, this was started in Japan, funny enough, back in the day. They used to call it add deletes. And it was not official. And there's a quite a good book. I must actually see if I can find the name. Anyone who's listening, I'll tweet it out. Yes. About a young American guy that actually went over there and got a little bit of espionage going and sort of managed to figure out which stocks were going in the Nikkei 50 a week before they did. Made an absolute killing, and I think retired. One of those stories, true story.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up retiring on an island somewhere very young after a year or two of figuring it out. And never came back, but it was started then, called Add Delete. So let's call this the Add Delete Fund for Monday.
Okay, that'll be an interesting one. Liberty Holdings came out with a trading statement. Speaking of Liberty Holdings,
on a Friday night
at 5 o'clock,
what are you doing?
4.6% down on my delayed screen. But anyway, you don't look at this one, do you?
No, but that was the one that was part of the emerging market index got kicked out, but. But yeah, I mean, literally, it came out two lines, no other detail. You know, just after the 5 o'clock close, you know, it doesn't bode well. You know, it doesn't sit easy with me when they do that on a Friday night, to be honest.
Quite
right. Headline earnings to be 20% lower.
16:35 today. Metal Investments Limited came out with their financial statements for the year ended 29th of February, a month late compared to everybody else. I used to work for a company that was owned by Metal, I have to say. Do you know anything about Metal?
Absolutely nothing.
Fantastic. Good. I'm glad, because I didn't either. That's why I took voluntary voluntary retirement. Exponent is another one I don't know anything about. I'm just looking down. Initial trading statement for the financial year ended 31st of March from Invicta, which is always an interesting one because it's associated with a well-known South African.
Yeah, this is I think out of that whole little stable of Mr. Visa who you are referring to.
Yes.
This is one of the few ones that I think has got some legs. You know, it hasn't sort of, you know, everyone's anything that's slightly associated with Starnoff, and unfortunately things like Cup Industrial and a few others who used to help sort of build those mattresses. I mean, unbelievable business, but still tarred with that sort of Visa brush. Invictus slightly different. Just you know, it operates in a very, very small place. It very much farming. It's an investment holding company. They're quite very industrial, Lindsay. They've got things like exposure to bearings and seals, and I think power transmission components and all parts for trucks, and I think heavy machinery as well. So they lean a lot towards a sort of what do you call it? Like the tractor businesses and stuff like that.
Yes.
But this particular share. It's an interesting one. But I mean, I haven't seen this thing get a bid for months. I mean, it's just been grinding lower since the start of the year. I'm just looking at it now. It's actually down 76% year to date. But I mean, cheap as they've ever been. 1.5 PE for those who are brave enough. I mean, we're in a race to find the cheapest PE on the JSE after this morning's conversation. There's a couple of them. But yeah, no, it's unfortunately it's a little bit small for us lot. I mean, it's 400 million market cap, which is a little bit small.
Mm. Okay, Capitec Bank Holdings Limited came out with a trading statement at 2:30 this afternoon. The share price down, as far as I can see, around about 5%. What did Capitec say?
They were out just warning. It was an official SENS announcement.
Yes.
And they were quite negative. Warning, but they didn't – quite negative, but for a change that I think brutally honest if I read most of it, saying they really didn't have a clue of how things are going to pan out with the COVID-19, with a lot of their sort of business clients and their LSM clients, obviously the lower end. But it was not a good sort of outlook. And quite frankly, I was quite surprised that the stock was only down 5%, which is not too far off some of the other banks today. So I actually think it held up reasonably well, but I think there's more to come here. You know, the stock is still sitting at 845 Rand. You know, it's not sold off like the others as much, given in the space it operates.
Wasn't it 1400 per share?
Yes, it was. But I mean, you know, Standard Bank was $200 as well. You know, yeah. It's close to under 100. So I mean, it's not far off what the other banks have done. But given the segment they operate in, with certainly you've got to think a large portion of their client base and their customer base is going to be under, well, a lot of them will probably lose their jobs in the next 6 months, unfortunately. Not a nice space to be in. So I'm surprised it didn't actually sell off more, quite honestly.
Let's stick with this almost incestuous circle of companies. And Zeda Investments Limited came out with their results. Changed statement and details of annual general and audited abridged. Anyway, tell me about Zeda, because they were up a little bit today.
So Zeda's an interesting one. Zeda's part of the PSG stable.
Exactly.
That same Stellenbosch network is an investment holding company, and they've also got quite a few interesting things. They got exposure. Their biggest exposure, of course, is to Pioneer Foods, and they've also got exposure to Capespan, which does the apples, Quantum Foods, a little bit of citrus food as well. So very much in the agri space, which I think ties in with the theme down there. They've also got quite a big exposure to that. It's called Quantum Foods. It's also a listed company.
Yes.
So Zeda's an interesting one. I think we spoke about this before because it is one of those ones where a lot of the stuff they hold in their sort of basket is listed shares. So it's not difficult to work out what the valuation should be. And there was always a sort of conversation which was PSG going to offload first. Was it going to be Zeda? Was it going to be Capitec? Well, it looks like it's going to be Capitec, and Zeda didn't. But I think it's quite an interesting play, this. I really do. And in fact, it can't be many shares given all the sort of disastrous year to date we've quoted on your show. This is down 10% year to date. You know, it's actually done okay. And it's giving a little nice little dividend yield of 6%. So I think you should watch this one. I think it's quite an interesting space. And what I like about them is they literally just operate in foods, agricultural, that sort of stuff. I think it's one to watch, actually. 188. We should probably stick that one in our fund.
A previous commentator of mine, interviewee of mine, I used to try and test him on certain companies that he would never know anything about, and nor should he. So I'm going to do the same to you this evening because it's a Friday night. Okay. The share code on the JSE is ILE. You won't know what that is, but you're furiously punching it into your laptop.
Oh, actually, you know what? I'm actually sitting on my hands. I won't do it. Okay. ILE.
Yes. In Bali Beauty Limited. And it says here, planned delay in the release of financial results for the year ended 29th of Feb. So in other words, they're going to be delisted soon. It's trading at 2 cents. It hasn't traded for about 1,000 years. But anyway, in Bali Beauty, I'm sure it was a good idea when it first started.
Yes.
But not anymore. What else have we got here? Gosh, I hope no one's listening from in Bali Beauty. Trellidor came out with a trading statement. Trellidor, I mean, it's a business. I mean, it stops people trying to rob you, I think.
Yeah, I remember the management before they listed came around on that beauty parade and to all the brokers, and they popped in and gave us a presentation and all the rest of it. And it's actually not a bad business.
Yes.
But if I remember correctly, it wasn't a big free float they're offloading, so I don't think they needed to raise the funds that urgently. And I guess the question mark at the time was, you know, why are you coming to the market? You know, you normally come to the market to either to raise capital. I mean, that's what stock markets and capital markets are for. Okay. Or typically you come to the market when you want to exit. You know, you have a founding member or some or family member, or somebody who's been there, sort of partner that started and wants to exit. And there was neither nor of those. So I think the question at the time was, why are you even coming to the market? One of those companies, I think, which should have been better staying private, to be quite honest. But not a bad business, really.
Soko Sons Hotel Limited, we spoke about that this morning because of the extraordinary first sentence in their prospect statement, which says we've had a fantastic year, but the share price, I was looking at it actually, I mean, it's rallied magnificently over the last couple of weeks, but it's still...
Two fingers up at us, yeah?
But it's still after its 52-week high, it's still down 72%, I think. Yeah. But anyway, Soko Sons, what happens there?
Yeah, so it's obviously separate from the gaming business.
Yes.
You know, they came out with numbers not so bad, but if I remember, what was the I haven't got it in front of me, Lindsay, but I remember, was it up to March, was it? Or when was it? I don't think it was
March year end.
Yeah,
yes.
So no, I mean, I can't even comment. You know, it's BC before COVID. You know, we don't even see the real numbers yet. So
Nampak, they came out this morning as well, and they didn't do too badly, up nearly 3%, I think it was.
Yeah, not bucking the trend. Yeah, it didn't do too badly. Numbers weren't so bad, but again, we said this morning, you know, this is really the sort of coal-faced SA, and the stock is down 86% year to date. So a little bit of bottom. I mean, I think there's more than in the price already. So there's a recovery stock for you.
Let's have a look at the top five major moves on the JSE to the upside. Kumba Iron Ore up 5.25%, DRD Gold up 5.1%, Vivo up 3.6%. Capital and Counties up 3.2%, and African Rainbow Minerals up 2.8%. On the downside, this is, in a morbid sort of way, more interesting. Investec Limited down 11.1%, Investec PLC down 11%, TFG down 10%, albeit by 0.01%. Old Mutual down 8.9%, and Redefine... down 6.8%. Tell me about Old Mutual, because that was up the other day.
Yeah, they came out with their trading statement, was it yesterday?
Yes.
And we spoke about, I think, with David as well. I thought, well, not such a bad, I didn't think it was so bad. And I said the outlook wasn't great. They're a little bit negative for the outlook.
No, just before you go, but when Coronation came out with their trading statement, I think it was, or their numbers, I can't remember, you said, well, the reason that Old Mutual is up, which it was on the day, by quite a substantial percentage. You said it's because it's sort of hanging on the coattails of another fund manager, i.e. Coronation. And now why has it suddenly plunged? Because people said, what's Coronation got to do with Old Mutual? Probably.
Yeah, it's a funny one today. I can't even put a finger on why it was down because the whole financial sector was down quite a bit. I mean, Sunland was down 5.25%, but it just straight up a day after the earnings get a move like this. I'd like to see over the weekend which brokers downgraded or who had a sell recommendation, because I think someone listened to that call yesterday, didn't like what they heard, and I think there's a big fund that was dumping today. But it's quite a decent move. I mean, that's quite a chunky move. And this thing, ever since the days of of the shenanigans with Peter Moyer and Trevor Manuel. Mm. You know, the stock was round about $20. I mean, it's closed $11.23. It has done nothing in the last, nothing but grind low since the start of the year. So I think we'll find out next week the true story, but I think it's been some big sellers in this.
Okay, let's have a look at the spot prices before we get to the closing JSE indices, starting with the currencies, because the dollar rand is 17.63, which is 0.2% weaker for the local currency. The British pound against the rand is 21.76, and the euro rand is 19.60. And the euro dollar, here we go again, 1.1122. That exchange rate, one of the most important indicators in the world. We'll talk about that again on Monday, but I know it's on your watch list. Very, very important. Indeed, the gold price on the back of that is suddenly springing to life. It's up 16 at 1734. The platinum price is 836, which is up 3 only. And palladium is doing what?
Palladium is down. It's down a percent at the moment. The spread is wide. Let's call it $22 down, 1,912.
Okay, West Texas Intermediate crude oil is down just very slightly, 11 cents a barrel, 15 cents a barrel now, actually updated, down 0.4% at 33.56. The Brent crude oil price is $34.99, down 30 cents a barrel, or 0.85%. And that's that. Let's have a look now at the indices. Actually, give us the Dow, the Nasdaq, and the S&P, if you would, because you've got a liver screen than mine.
So the Dow is not having a great day. It's down 0.75. It's actually on the lows of the session since it opened 2 hours ago. 25,214, the number. We have the S&P is down 0.86%, sitting at 3,011. This is a crucial day for the weekly close. It needs to hold this 3,000 level. Otherwise, it starts to lean over under the moving average. So crucial close there for that today. And then the NASDAQ, that is currently down a little bit more, 1.12% at the moment.
Okay, give us the closing JSE indices on the 29th of May, 2020, the last day, the last trading day of the month.
Yeah, as Lindsay said, last day of the month, not a great way to close, but all shares still holding that 50,000 level. 50,483, down 1.76%. JSE top 40, down 1.89%, 46,544. And most shares to the downside. We have the gold shares at a little bit higher, let's call it 1.2% of that index. But on the downside, healthcare 0.79 down. Industrials had a tough day, down 2%. Financials, we spoke about those, that index down 2.76%. And energy shares, that was down 3.5%. And telecommunications, down 3.22%. And value traded with the rebalancing, obviously, 46.6 billion today.
Look at that. On Monday, it'll probably be down to around about 18, 19, 21 billion, because there are a couple of holidays in Europe on June the 1st. But anyway, very, very nice indeed. Let me just give you my quote of the day and my quote to end the week. And it's all to do with Twitter and President Trump. And let me read this to you. It's quite long. Twitter said early on Friday that a post by President Trump about the protests overnight in Minneapolis glorified violence because of the historical context of his last line, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. The phrase was used by Miami's police chief, Walter Hedley, in 1967 when he addressed his department's crackdown on slum hoodlums, according to a UPI article from The Time. That's United Press International. And I think it's appropriate that I go on from here, because it goes on to say that Hedley, who was the chief of police in Miami for 20 years, said that law enforcement was going after young hoodlums from 15 to 21 years old who had taken advantage of the civil rights campaign. We don't mind being accused of police brutality. That's what he says. We don't mind being accused of police brutality. And this is being embraced by the 2020 President of the United States of America. I don't know what you make of that, Nick. Maybe we shouldn't say anything about it. And in fact, we won't. But thanks very much for your contribution this evening and all week. Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.